Grace to you and peace from our crucified and gloriously risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon is based on the gospel reading, John 20, these words of Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. You know the old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Well, you know, it's amazing to me how often this applies to stories from the Bible. Take today's gospel, for instance. Jesus' disciples are in a room by themselves. The doors are locked because they're afraid. They're shutting out trouble. Boy, how this sounds like us right now. Shut up in our homes and rooms, separated from one another, and all because we're afraid of what's out there. Afraid that it will find us and harm us. Well, Jesus comes to us today, the same Jesus who appeared in the midst of the disciples, the one who triumphed over sin and death by his resurrection and is now eternally living, the one who overcame the worst of what his enemies could throw at him and can never again be threatened by or harmed by them or by anything. The one before whom everyone and everything in heaven and on earth must bow, including every disease and every evil of this world and life. The living Lord Jesus is among us. Be at peace. Be at peace. Because Jesus came to bring you peace, although not worldly peace. The fear that filled and froze his disciples after his death, the fear of their enemies, that those who killed their Lord Jesus were also seeking to kill them. Well, that fear was taken away by Christ. After he appeared to them, they became bold witnesses to Jesus. But the threats that were against them, those persisted. And we hear of this in the reading from Acts chapter 5. Not long after Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven, the leaders of the Jewish people became enraged with Jesus' apostles, and they wanted to kill them just as they had killed Jesus. Well, opposition to our Savior's teachings remain to this very day. For us here in this country, it's really not that bad. The worst you might face is, oh, perhaps being berated, maybe unfriended on Facebook, rejected. But there are places in this world, especially Muslim-dominated and communist countries, where, if you were a Christian, you could face arrest, fines, imprisonment, even death. It is not easy in this world to be a follower of Jesus. And conflicts with one another, they also disturb our peace. You know, how do you think things were between the disciples who saw Jesus on the day he rose, and Thomas, who didn't see him, and who, because he didn't see him, refused to believe that he was alive, who refused to believe the other disciples? I'll bet there was a fair amount of tension between them. Harsh words were probably spoken. I mean, Thomas was calling them, and, frankly, calling Jesus liars, fools. Well, do we ourselves not get angry with and even mistreat one another at times? Like Thomas, we can be stubborn, especially when we believe we're right. When we believe we're right, we too can accuse others. Hey, one day last week, I was on my way home from the bank, and I remembered that one of the headlights on my car was out. So I was going past an auto parts store. I stopped and pulled in to get a new light bulb. I told the clerk, I have a 2006 Chevy Impala. So he looked it up on his computer. He told me I needed an H11 bulb. So guess what? When I got home, took the headlight out, the new bulb wouldn't fit. So I looked at the old bulb that I had taken out, and it said on it, H8. Ugh. Dumb clerk, I grumbled. Can't get one simple little thing right. You know, doesn't it bug you when people screw up simple things? So I went back, returned the bulb, got an H8 bulb. Hey, it was cheaper. I was glad of that. And went back to the house and replaced the H8 bulb. Later that day, I realized something. I had replaced my car's high beam light, which is an H8, instead of replacing the bulb that was really out, the low beam light, which is an H11. Ugh, dummy. Yep. We're all dummies. We're all sinners. And we all have disagreements and get angry with one another, with co-workers, with friends, with fellow church members, with family members. And we especially do so when we are sure that we are right. Well, the only one who is truly right, the only truly righteous one, is Jesus. And when he arose, he appeared among his fearful and his guilt-ridden disciples. He knew their sins. As surely as when he appeared again the next week, he knew Thomas's unbelief. But still, when he came, it was not with rebuke. Peace be with you, he said. Even to Thomas, he had borne himself the harsh rebuke that their sins deserve, borne it in his own flesh. And so he pointed to his wounds as a reminder of that. And by his death and resurrection, he has overcome every sin of every one of us. Jesus, with his Father, is at peace with us. And so we need not be afraid. In fact, we can rejoice. Jesus gave to his disciples peace, his peace, far greater than any peace that the world can give. He forgave their sins and so gave them peace with God. And with that peace comes a new life, a new hope. Peter sums it up very well for us in the first chapter of his first letter, which we heard in our epistle reading today. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." God has prepared a home for you, a home with him, an inheritance in heaven. He is watching over it and guarding it, guarding you. Be at peace then, at peace even when your world is in turmoil. The Lord of heaven and earth, he's not only watching over you, he is holding you in his hand. Can you be sure of this? Here is where you must trust God. Jesus is no longer walking among us, speaking his comfort to us from his own mouth. But don't doubt that he is still with you and that he is speaking to you. What you must do now is look to where the peace of his presence, with his forgiveness and his love and his help and his protection, where that is found. And it's in his words. Words which are given to us by his apostles. Peace be with you, Jesus told his apostles. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. You know, this is an astounding promise. And an astounding gift. Those simple and sinful men, they would be and would bring with their words and their actions the presence of Jesus himself and his Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus was and brought the presence of his Father and the Holy Spirit. It is with trust in that promise and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit that the Apostle John wrote in his gospel, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You know, right now, pretty much all we have is these words. We're unable to meet together in God's house, to encourage and uphold one another with our own words and prayers as we listen to our Lord's. We're unable to receive together here in his house the eternally living Jesus in the sacrament of his body and blood. Thank God for the technology that we do have, which at least allows us to see and join in the Lord's worship, and also to see and hear one another in Bible studies. But still, it seems that we have little more than words. And this is difficult. But the words we have are the words of those who were blessed by Jesus with the gift of his forgiveness and the gift of his Holy Spirit. And so, the words of Scripture that we have are words that are filled with life, with the life of God the Father, who by his voice, his own words, brought forth all that is, brought forth every living thing, as at the beginning he said, let there be, and it came into being. In the words of Scripture, we have the life of Jesus, he who is the eternal Word, who joined himself with us in our flesh, so that by his death and resurrection, he might create us anew in him. Christ is the heart of the Scriptures. And in those Scriptures, we have the life of the Holy Spirit, who through these words is breathing faith into us and raising us to eternal life with God. When these words of God were spoken over you, for most of you, when you were just a baby, as water was poured on your head, Peter tells us, God caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. As you read and listen to these words, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 tells us, God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By these simple words, creation happens. Therefore, St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so, by these words, written in the pages of the Bible, that they could be read by you, spoken by the mouths of his pastors, spoken by you to one another. Words remembered in the mind and believed on and treasured in the heart. By these words, Jesus is with you. And he is speaking to you and giving to you his eternal peace. This is why Peter urges in the second chapter of his first letter, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Yearn for God's word, Peter says, like a baby yearns for its mother's milk. A mother's milk, it's just what her baby needs, because it's produced by her. And so it is filled not only with nutrients, but with natural antibodies that will protect her child from disease. Even more, God's word is just what you need, made pure by the Holy Spirit, filled with the nutrients of the living Christ and his forgiveness. God's word will cause you to grow in Christ until you obtain the outcome of your faith, Peter says, the salvation of your souls. Blessed be God, who has given us the word made flesh, crucified and risen, and given to us in the very words of Scripture. Amen.